So I was driving up to the studio today, and I was thinking about my brother-in-law. I know you're thinking, how does selling my business relate to my brother-in-law? So if you'd be so kind to bear with me for a few minutes, I'll kind of try to connect the two. So for years, my brother-in-law worked for this really large insurance company. And every year, typically around the holidays, he would give us this big old Rand McNally roadmap. I mean, the thing was like 2 feet high, 18 inches wide, all 50 states, District of Columbia. And, you know, you open it up and you'd have this very intricate, detailed map, right? Federal highway system, the state highway system, secondary roads, sometimes local. And that was, you know, kind of what we used to use to, you know, plan our trips, whether it's vacation or a meeting with a business associate. So you'd sit down, you open up this map, and, you know, you kind of write out your directions, how you're going to get there. And, you know, hopefully you ended up where you were supposed to be. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, more times I want to admit, I ended up pulling into a convenience store or a, you know, gas station and going to a payphone. All right, so there I am with the payphone stuck underneath my, you know, chin, traffic going by, and I'm trying to write down, I'm calling this business meeting, say, hey, I'm kind of close, but not exactly there. Can you, I'm at the corner of so-and-so, can you kind of help me, you know, kind of like navigate me the rest of the way? And usually I eventually got there. But, you know, it was a very high-provoking, anxious time because you're trying to get to a professional meeting and you're like, okay, I'm late, right? Last thing you want to do. So, you know, but that was the only tool we had in the toolkit back then. And then we had the, you know, commercialization of GPS. So we all had these little garments and tom-toms, right? But you'd have to plug it in, right? You'd sit there and literally had to plug it in, type it in, and God forbid you mistyped it, right? And you come up with this directions, and it'd circle through and say, okay, and there's this direction. So you put it on your dashboard, and you kind of like blindly follow that direction. And I don't know about you, but half the time I ended up in the wrong place or in someone's driveway. And so again, then I'm pulling out my cell phone, right, which is attached to my car. And I say, hey, I'm kind of close, but can you kind of help me get there? And then you end up getting there, right? So then things evolved again, and we had the internet. And then, you know, we had things like MapQuest. So you would plug in your address, and the MapQuest would say, do you want to print it out with the map or just the, you know, the text only? So it would print out this big thing, right? And you had 3-4 pages of documents. And then you put this thing over here on your the passenger seat, but you still had your GPS going. So now you had two ways to go, right? And you hope they were the same. But you know what? You get to a road and it's like GPS says take a right. And you look down at the thing and it says, no, you got to go left. So you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And so you take one direction and, you know, sometimes you end up back in that, you know, someone's driveway or you actually get there. And so, you know, it's, you know, it was like hit or miss, right? And today we have this great technology. Right? It's all on your phone, right? We have, I mean, you could literally have an address in there and you hit the address and it comes up in Waze or Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever and says, here's how you're going to get there. And this is how long it's going to take me. And if you're really good at it, like I'm coming up here today, it alerts you like you need to leave for your meeting now because it's going to take you 45 minutes to get there, right? But it doesn't just give you one way anymore. Right? Today, it's like, you look at it and it's like, well, you can go this way, you can go that way, you can go that way, right? And then you take one way and you start going, but it alerts you that there's an issue, there's a problem, there's an accident. So it reroutes you another way and you kind of just blindly follow it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you eventually get there. It's pretty good technology. But it's kind of like when you're planning to sell your business, you know, what's your roadmap? What's your exit plan, right? There's no one way to get there anymore. It's an evolving process. It's not static. You don't just come up with an exit plan. This is what I'm going to do. It's got to be constantly worked, modified, updated, because there are roadblocks, things that were going to delay the process, take you down a different path. And heaven forbid, there's an incident that accelerates it because you have to do something. So I want to thank you for being here today. My name is Keith D., president of Osage Advisors. Welcome back to our podcast, The Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. To help us break down this process is Dennis Horrigan of Connecticut Wealth Management. Dennis, welcome.
Good morning, Keith. Good to see you.
Thank you for being here. I know you have a lot on your plate. So when you think about wealth management, right, you think about financial planning, financial advice, investing. But you and your partners of your firm have made the conscious effort to dedicate significant resources to the planning process. Is an additional add-on or ongoing service to help your clients navigate this road, yeah. Right? And so I just, you know, before we, I'd love to know how you guys came up with the idea, hey, we got to do more for our clients, especially our business clients. Yeah. How did that all evolve for you guys?
Yeah, well, first of all, what a great metaphor, the map. And it's shocking to me that we used to drive around in the 80s and 90s with a map. How did we not get into accidents all the time? It's just, it's stunning that we actually survived that.
We're here to talk about
yeah,
it,
right? It's crazy. Well, again, thanks for having me here. I appreciate it. So our journey to get to where we are now started, Kevin Leahy and I started the business about 14 years ago. And I've been in the business at that point for 25 years and had worked for a number of different firms and had seen how some firms did it well, some firms did it poorly. And what I mean is the way they interacted with clients, in particular business owners. So when Kevin and I came up with this idea of maybe we should start our own business and try to do all the good things that we've seen over the years and eliminate the bad things, that was kind of the genesis of it. Literally, he came up with the idea was a cockamamie idea over a couple beers to start this business, a financial planning wealth management business that didn't have any conflicts of interest. So the idea was we were going to be planning centric. We were going to operate as one big team. We were not going to have any conflicts of interest. No one was going to get compensated to generate new business. The idea was, boy, you empower advisors to take care of clients really well. Mm-hmm. And the clients will really enjoy that experience because they know that the advisor is not trying to sell them anything. So that idea was kind of the genesis of the business. Lo and behold, we started attracting a lot of business owners. Why? Well, business owners have such complicated lives, right? I mean, business owners, right? They're every night they're thinking about their work-life balance. How do they get their work-life balance straight? How do they take care of their leadership team? How do they transition to the next generation? How do they manage their own personal finances, their retirement goals, their tax liability, their estate plan, their insurance plan? All these things are swirling around in their head. They're very smart people, but that can be overwhelming. And so we were really well positioned to step in to help those business owners to get all that stuff straight so they could sleep at night, so they could actually enjoy the fruits of their labor. Small businesses are the heartbeat of America. I mean, they are most business, new job creation comes out of small and mid-sized businesses. So we felt an obligation to help these business owners. We constructed the firm in a way that really, really takes good care of them. And now here we are 14 years later. We continue to invest in our team to get certified, experienced, licensed to take care of these business owner clients and help them move the business to perhaps the next generation or to an outside buyer.
That's a great story. And I know Kevin as well. You guys are, you know, really dedicated, really, you know, client centric. It's all about what's best for our clients, right? And being transparent with them getting there. So you know, exit planning is like one of your core competencies now. Right, it's something that you guys is a service provided to your business owner clients. Not a lot of firms that I'm aware of that in your industry, so to speak, really focus on it. They say, "Yeah, we do some exit planning," but it is a whole, you know, model unto itself. Right, yeah, it's almost like you need dedicated people focused specifically on exiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because as you said, there's a lot going on, and there's no easy way,
right.
You know, that roadmap, right, getting there. So, you know, when you sit with an owner or owners, I should say, because it could be more complicated, and, you know, what are the, you know, there's a huge emotional component to family close to our business, right? I mean, we, as our business, it's all about that emotional aspect of helping our clients manage that. so they get to where they need to be, right? And they're happy, right? Because it's a golf metaphor. You don't have a lot of shots at this. There's no real mulligans. So you want to make sure that you feel good about it. So when you look at that component and that planning, whether it's an internal plan to the next generation, which we don't, that's not where we fall, but it's a big part of your business, or selling to an outside party.
Yeah.
How do you address that? How do you guys, sit with your clients and kind of get them to be honest with you about that?
Yeah. There's a rough statistic out there from that PwC did a study a number of years ago that suggested that 75% of business owners, after they exit their business, profoundly regret it.
Mm-hmm.
That's stunning and sad. So I think our business model allows us to kind of be counselors to our clients, because 99% of people in our business and our profession of wealth management, people get compensated based on the revenue they generate. That's not a great thing for the client, because the client therefore is a source of income for that advisor. And they're going to try to generate revenue if they're paid based on the revenue they generate.
Right.
We changed that. We turned that whole model up on its ear so that our advisors are paid a salary and they're paid a bonus, an incentive compensation based on retention of existing clients, not getting new clients or generating revenue. So they can really spend the time that's necessary to make sure the clients are happy. That starts with kind of a big counseling session of, let's talk about your goals. What's important to you? What's important to your family? What's your legacy? What's the legacy you want to leave? What do you want to do in life after your business? There's a ton of next chapter planning that we do that allows us to, just like you were saying, when you're trying to figure out looking at a map or MapQuest or GPS or whatever, the first thing you got to know is, what do I want to get to? And folks don't spend the time to do that. They just start taking steps forward. Instead of first identifying the goal, the target, where do I want to get to? Maybe the idea is at 65, I want to scale back to not 60 hours a week, but I want to work 40 hours a week. And then I want to work 20 hours a week. And then by the time I'm 70, I want to be completely out of it. Identify the goals. And then you can just kind of reverse engineer the process to make sure you're taking the proper steps to achieve that goal. So it's just time. It's time spent with a client, having a conversation as a trusted advisor.
Right. I mean, that trusted advisor thing is something that we really, is core to our business, is that you need to be open, transparent. And same for us, right? You come in, we one of the first questions we ask is, why are you here? Yeah. What's motivating this sale? Yeah. And what are you looking to do? What your goals and objectives are? And, depending on whether someone has a plan, met with you, really kind of helps us work through the right process to find the right kind of buyer that's the right kind of fit.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of clients, as you know, that don't plan.
Yeah.
Right? And they're at a critical point where it's either age-related, or there's been an episode with a spouse or a child, or, by the way, Dad, I really don't want to be in this business. Yep. And you're like, oh, what?
Yep.
Right, or you have a partner.
Yeah,
I mean, we had a situation recently where two partners had the buy sell on the table. They finally sat down after years and years with their lawyers and their consultants and their men. Hey, let's get this together, right? We need to make sure that we're protecting each other and each other's family. So they get the buy sell on the table, and this is kind of a tragic situation. What happens? The guy goes out. One of the partners goes out the weekend. He got hit by a drunk driver and gets killed. Right?
Yeah.
And it's now it's a trap. Now it's a fire. It's a situation. The stress level for the remaining partner is intense. So what am I going to do? I mean, I got to take care of my partner's business. And the fact is that they waited so long to do this that they finally got to their realization point. But
yeah, what a shame. They spend years working on this business, maybe generations working on this business and working in the business. And a drunk driver sends that whole thing into turmoil. If there had been some proper planning ahead of time, you couldn't avoid the drunk driver, but at least you maybe could have avoided the turmoil after that tragedy. And maybe you could protect the business and have it go to the right people in the right manner at the right price.
That's right. So, and I think you brought up earlier is, I think one of the big hesitations that owners come to that realization of, okay, it's time to let go, is like, what's next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and seeing some kind of visibility out there. Okay. You know, as you said, right. And I talk to owners all the time. It's like when you're selling your business, doesn't mean necessarily that you need to leave your business.
Yep.
The buyer wants you there. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a transition period and you do it on your terms. And that could be, like you said, you know, I'm going to focus on certain aspects of the business. I'm going to travel with my spouse. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, but I'm available, but I'm not here 60 hours a week. Now I'm here maybe 30 hours a week. Or as you know, a lot of our clients live in Florida.
Yep.
And they're down there 6-7 months a year and they come back when they need to come back and it works. Yep. So it's like 75% of buyers are not happy when they leave. And the a lot of them, my intuition tells you're not happy because I didn't leave on their terms.
You're right. Right. It's more emotional and psychological than financial. Yeah.
And we always say to our clients, I just had a conversation with a client yesterday. He's like, you want to find the right buyer that's not going to change your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. If they're going to insist you do certain things, they're not the right buyer.
Right.
You're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to deal with that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, it's a lot of psychology and just listening and trying to find, you know, find a solution. How do you guys approach that piece?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's, we love that. We love that conversation. You know, what you were just describing, someone leaves a business, it's not a light switch on off for most people. We suggest that it's not an on off switch. It's a dimmer switch so that you can continue to find purpose in your life because you've been defined as this business owner, the CEO of XYZ Manufacturing, to suddenly just be Joe or just be Susan and not be the owner of this business, that can be crushing to people. It can really, I mean, there's a high incidence of depression when people just walk away from a business. So for us, it's like therapy. It's counseling when we sit down with the business owner and their spouse, because the spouse, oftentimes all of a sudden, you know, Susie's been running the business for 20 years and now Susie's going to be home. Right. Every day, all right. week. And they've never spent that much time together. So they both have to come to the table and kind of set rules of engagement. What are we actually going to do? On Friday, I'm CEO. Monday morning, I'm just Susie. I'm going to play golf when I retire. Okay, so you got a tee time at 8:30 on Monday and you play 18 holes and then it's lunch and you go have lunch and then you're going to play another 18 in the afternoon.
Right.
And Tuesday morning, you're going to play 36 on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, there's got to be something else. So let's map it out. Let's discuss what are we actually going to do? Are we going to travel? How often are we going to travel? How much money are we going to commit to traveling? Am I going to stay in the business? How much money do I need to get paid from that business when I'm working part-time? It's a ton of conversation. And here's this is the critical point. Those conversations don't generate revenue, which is why other advisors aren't having the conversation.
Right.
For us, it doesn't matter. We're just trying to help the client out to make sure the client has a happy exit when they actually do leave their business. So we spend a ton of time in those conversations, trying to make sure they can plan for what the eventual exit looks like.
Yeah, you know, and also when you say the exit plan, it's like, okay, you put a plan in, right? And so you hire an advisor like us and you go, it doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, no.
Right? And it's going to take, it could take up to a year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you're 64, maybe you'll sell another year and then you need to stay on for a transition period.
Yeah.
And that period could be 1 or 2 years, depending on how you set your business up. I mean, you know, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
So we have clients coming to us now and, you know, I call it like the back half of the baby boomers, mm-hmm. right? It's that next, that last, you know, people who are in their early 60s to 70. I mean, we have a lot of clients right now and a lot of phones are ringing that it's time. Yeah. I need to do something, but they don't really have a plan.
Yeah.
And, or haven't really set out with an exit plan. They really thought through it. So, you know, we end up spending a lot of time in nurturing the concerns about how this is going to look once you sell.
Yeah. The Exit Planning Institute just came out with their business owner readiness survey. I think it was yesterday, the day before. And not surprising to you and I, maybe surprising to the general public, 75% of current business owners want to exit their business in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
50% want to leave in the next 5. So if they aren't already working on it, they're probably not going to be perfectly prepared for that exit in the next 5 years. So it does, it takes a bunch of time to get your financials in good shape, right? You help a ton with that. The, what you all do preparing a business owner for sale is super valuable. It's to make sure that when you are ready to pull the trigger and you've found a good partner to transition the business to, everything is in good order. And that takes, that can take years.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's at the core of our business is making sure that we tell their story. Mm-hmm. And we put together a very big, you know, a comprehensive SIM, you know, a book, a memorandum on the business. And we talk about, you know, the transition goals. And right, you know, so our first paragraph is like, what are the transition goals and objectives of our client? So the buyer knows, hey, I want to work for a couple of years and then leave, right? Or I'm like to maybe, I may be on the younger side and say, look, I've seen my competition sell out, and but I want to stay in it, but I need some capital. So I want to roll some equity. I want to partner with somebody to grow it to the next level. And then I want to transition out. You know, that whole thing. And then we have, we do a Q&A session, right? And there's always, we have a whole section and a beginning of our questions that we have buyers, you know, we have called ownership, transition goals, and objectives, right? And we get tons of questions from the buyers about, you know, not only, you know, not the transactional shape, right? What does Dennis's day-to-day look like, right? Yeah. Does Dennis want to stay in? Does he, you know, does he want to own equity? Does he want to do this? Do he want to do that? All that kind of stuff, you know, and it's, then it's like a roadmap. Sometimes when, you know, you don't know what you don't know, so when you go to market, depending on your age, you know, the path changes.
Yeah, sure does.
It does, because he's like, oh, you know, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not changing my desk. Yeah. I'm going to focus on sales and strategy, and then, but I can be doing it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we have a client sold his company. He was, they brought him back on for sales, and he's, you know, he's literally down in his pool down in Fort Lauderdale or wherever it was, you know, and he's too making bad. Phone calls and talking to the customers,
not
but
too bad.
They're happy with it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, versus the buyer that comes in, so you need to be in the office in 30, you know, 30 below weather in Connecticut or wherever, you know, doing calls from this office.
And, or we're buying the business, you're done, you're out, and you have no relationship with the business, right? There are shades of your, the involvement that you want to have and that they want to have you involved in the business. And it's, it takes a lot of asking questions, having conversations to try to make sure they have the best outcome possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we said earlier, like, you know, there's multiple ways, multiple routes to get there. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to, you know, how you help your client navigate that, off that exit ramp. And, you know, I think, you know, this has been fascinating, and I'd love to have you come back and talk a little bit about, you know, some of your, you know, some, maybe some stories about how you were involved with an owner and got them to a successful conclusion of their exit. If that works for you, I'd love to have you back.
That would be great.
Well, Dennis, thank you. Dennis Horrigan from Connecticut Wealth Management. Great to be here. Looking forward to you coming back. Again, my name is Keith D., President of Osage Advisors. Appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast, The Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. If you like it, please feel free to subscribe on our YouTube channel. If you have any questions, you can reach me at kdee@osageadvisors.com. You can pick up the phone and give me a call at 860-767-3273, extension 1001. Or to learn more about our firm and how we work with business owners selling their companies, you can visit our website at osageadvisors.com. Thanks again for being here. Greatly appreciated, and have a great day.